based on fantasy. It is absolutely fantastic. There is no money. There is no trillions of dollars that they talk about. The only thing that keeps this stuff afloat is people believe it. There's nothing. There's nothing that backs up anything. There's no banks that's there. It's backed up by anything except the things in people's mind that accept the word of the imperialist that is there. But the reality is the world is changing rapidly. And we have a revolutionary party that is stretching out and building. And this is what this campaign is about. The One People, One Party, One Destiny campaign is about seizing the time, about recognizing that we are at a critical moment in history if we would but take it. And that's what the call is. I appreciate everybody participating in this discussion, in this process. Victory is on the horizon, and it's just up to us to seize it. Uhuru.
Listening to Reparations in Action on AhuruRadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. This is the official program of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, the organization of white people and other allies of African liberation that was formed by and is led by the African People's Socialist Party. We do this show every week at 1 p.m. on Sundays to bring the message of Black Power into the living rooms and computer screens of the white community. And we want to, you know, express appreciation to the African People's Socialist Party for giving us this hour on Uhuru Radio every week to do just that. The Uhuru Solidarity Movement is led by the African People's Solidarity Committee, the cadre organization. Uhuru Solidarity Movement is the mass organization, bringing the masses of North Americans, Europeans, into this movement under the leadership of the African working class, you know, struggling for self-determination, national liberation, and reparations. Today we're going to be talking about a number of things. The theme of today's program is the return of the Mau Mau. Impedum builds resistance, African resistance to imperialist attacks. And we'll be getting a lot more into that and what that means and the history of the Mau Mau. We're also going to be talking about attacks on the African community that have been going on here in St. Petersburg, Florida, where we're broadcasting from, as well as throughout the United States. And we're going to be talking about U.S. wars of imperialist aggression against other oppressed peoples, in particular in Syria, where the U.S. is now carrying out a covert war against the government and people of Syria. So we want to first start off by mentioning the shooting that has been on the news lately in Colorado, where a 24-year-old white man by the name of James Holmes entered a movie theater and opened fire, injuring, I think, 70 people, shooting 70 people, 12 of which died in the shooting. We posted a blog piece to uhurusolidarity.wordpress.com sharing an article that was published on Mohawk Nation News about the Sand Creek Massacre that took place in the 1800s, just 100 miles from where this recent shooting took place. And we did that to really, you know, emphasize that the culture of violence that characterizes the white community in this country, from everything from the Columbine school shooting to, you know, stories that you hear about, you know, mothers drowning their children in swimming pools that you read about in the news, and on to what is being dubbed in the mainstream media as the so-called Batman Massacre in Colorado. All of this culture of violence rests on the foundation, on the pedestal of the genocide of the indigenous people of this land and the enslavement of African people. And the APSC chairwoman, Penny Hess, has written an amazing book called Overturning the Culture of Violence that really goes into a lot of detail about that history, how it informs the reality that we experience as white people on this planet, and what we can do to overturn that reality through working under the leadership of African people in solidarity with the struggle for African liberation. So I want to encourage people to check out both that book, Overturning the Culture of Violence, which you can get on burningspearmarketplace.com, and to check out that blog piece that we shared on uhurusolidarity.wordpress.com from Mohawk Nation News. You know, because there's a lot of crazy stuff that people are putting out about what's been going on with this Colorado shooting, and, you know, this is really kind of grounding it in the reality of what gave birth to this country and the system and the society that we live in. I also want to mention today at 4 p.m. here in St. Petersburg at the Uhuru House, 1245 18th Avenue South, the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement is going to be holding its weekly Sunday rally. And we want to start off by really talking about what's been going on here in St. Petersburg with the war that the police have waged and continue to wage against African people here. I'm going to read from a note that was sent out by Impedum. Come out to this important meeting where we discuss the ongoing problems with police conduct in the African community. Anyone who has been affected by police chases, anyone who has been threatened by the police or given bogus tickets, anyone who has refused to let them search their car and then been harassed by the police. If this has happened to you or your family, you need to be at this meeting. The recent police chase that ended with several injuries and the crash of a bus into an apartment in Jordan Park has magnified the containment policy of the police. While the city does nothing to forward economic development for the African community, the police are giving out bogus tickets, framing people up, and beating Africans down. In January, the police were involved in a high-speed chase in which Kenneth Davis, a passenger in a car being chased, died when the chase ended in a horrific crash. Tony Welch was beaten so badly during a raid on his house that he died 2 days later. We cannot stand idly by while the police terrorize the African community. We must get organized. Demand an end to these dangerous chases by taking the petition to your neighborhood, job, or church. And most importantly, come to the Uhuru House community meetings to get organized for Black Power. For more information, call 727-851-3659 or email stpeteimpedum@yahoo.com to confirm your attendance. Uhuru, and I just want to say from the Uhuru Solidarity Movement that we in the white community cannot stand idly by while this terror is being waged out against African people. We have to take a stand and get organized as well. And that's why the Uhuru Movement created the Uhuru Solidarity Movement as a way for white people to say, you know, we stand with African people. We don't want the police and this government and this city and this mayor to represent us. You know, we want to take the side of the oppressed that are fighting back and resisting, struggling for the ability to live, you know, peaceful, prosperous lives without having to face this kind of terror on a daily basis. I saw a video the other day on YouTube of an African man who was being harassed by these police officers that were demanding that he show them his identification. And they proceeded to push him to the ground and in constantly demanding, repeating for him to show identification. And he had done absolutely nothing. He was just being randomly attacked by these police. And because he was not able to show identification, they tasered him. And this is just, like, it was just so incredible and horrific to watch this. And what really drives this home for me, coming to these meetings at the Uhuru House, is that for African people, for the black community, this is not a YouTube video. This is not something that you just see on the internet. This is daily life experienced by African people that you walk out of your house and you don't know if you're going to have to get stopped by a cop, is going to make up that you passed a stop sign or demand to see your ID or come up with any other absurd justification to, you know, bring this kind of terror down on you. So it's just really, really important for us in the white community to come out to these meetings every Sunday as well and hear what African people are saying, what they're experiencing, and most importantly, to take a stand, take an organized stand in solidarity with African people, with the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement that's building organization to challenge this system and resist this system. We understand that this is not just something that happens locally. This is, like we're saying, is part of this system of that thrives on war and violence against African people. There was a report that was released recently by the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement that discussed how every 40 hours in the United States, one African woman, man, or child is killed by police and by security guards and self-appointed vigilantes. These were the findings of a report entitled A Report on Extrajudicial Killings of Black People that was released on July 9th, 2012. That is a war. When you have every 40 hours, at least, an African person's life is taken, is destroyed by the state, by functionaries of the U.S. government, you're talking about a war against African people, just like you see war going on against the people of Afghanistan, the people of Iraq. And, you know, we also understand, based on our, you know, recognition of this war, that, you know, this report talks about extrajudicial killings and compares those to lynchings and, you know, completely unite with that summation and would also add that a judicial killing of an African person is, too, a lynching, that as Chairman Omali Yeshitela, the leader of the Uhuru Movement and the chairman of the African People's Socialist Party, has helped us to understand, the judicial system in this country is another instrument through which the U.S. government carries out the colonial oppression of African people. And, you know, in light of that, we want to play a clip now of Chairman Omali Yeshitela discussing the history of lynching in this country and really putting all of these attacks on the African community in the context, everything from Trayvon Martin that we heard about to the recent case of Eric Oliver, an 18-year-old African in Bronson, Florida, that resisted colonial violence and fought back against the white lynch mob. Chairman Omali puts all of this in the context of the centuries-long history of white colonial terror against African people in the following clip. This is from a presentation called A Lynching is a Lynching that was also given at a Sunday meeting at the Uhuru House here in St. Pete.
So we have to become a self-governing people in charge of our own affairs. And that means, among other things, we have to get rid of all these old Uncle Tom white power and black faces. From 16th Street in St. Petersburg all the way to Ghana in Africa. All the way to the Bahamas in the Caribbean. They put up these old puppet Negroes to steal and loot and control us on their behalf. They armed them to the teeth. Here they are. And because the state has to have a monopoly on violence, they don't want you to have no guns. They want a monopoly on violence. Zimmerman can carry a gun. They want a monopoly on violence. Even when they give people permits to carry guns, to stand your ground, even stand your ground that exists in something like 24 other states were created to justify being able to gun down African people in the streets of this country. You can't have a gun. Any kind of so-called infraction, they take away your right to have a gun. On the one hand, they'll buy you a gun for $50. On the one hand. But give everybody, that's what the thing is about Iran. Iran can't have a nuclear weapon because the state demands a monopoly on violence. They have to have a monopoly on violence. They are the ones who are only ones who can violate other people. That's what weapons of mass destruction had to do with Iraq. If you want to deal with weapons of mass destruction, go to Israel. Go to France. Mess with China. They intend to have a monopoly on violence, which ought to be a statement to you. If you ain't got one, you need one. If you got one, you need four more. Need several. And you need to be capable. But beyond that, we need to take back our right to be a governing, self-governing people. And we have to construct our own economic life. The parasitic economy that we exist with now. Capitalism is a parasite. And it was born as a parasite. It was born off slavery. It was born off colonialism. It's maintained through that. In order for a parasite to stay alive, it has to have a host. And we the host. It's the tapeworm. It don't work, but it just keep big, getting bigger and bigger, and we get smaller and smaller. So what has to happen is we have to deprive the tapeworm of the host. At the same time, we're doing other things to kill it. Because if it can't live off you, it can't live. So, anyway, a lynching is a lynching. And sometimes what they call a lynching is a court hearing. But it's the same thing. Consequences are the same. So that's essentially what I have to say, and thank you very much. Uhuru.
Uhuru. That was Chairman Omali Yeshitela giving a presentation called A Lynching is a Lynching at the Uhuru House here in St. Petersburg, Florida, a little while after the killing of Trayvon Martin. And as Chairman Omali explains, lynching is a lynching, even though sometimes it's called a court hearing. And we played that, you know, in addition to this report that just came in about the extrajudicial killings, you know, to really reinforce the understanding that it's the whole system that thrives on, is built on, was born from, and sustained by violence, colonial violence against the African community. Just want to remind people that you're listening to Reparations in Action on Uhuru Radio, and you can call in if you're in the U.S. You can call in and participate in the program today by calling 727-565-1599. If you're in the U.K., you can call 020-8133-6629. If you're on Skype, you can use the Skype ID Uhuru Radio, and you can also email your questions and comments to dj@uhururadio.com. Uhuru. So the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, although we ourselves are not Africans, we are African internationalists, and our worldview is based on the understandings of the African People's Socialist Party that sees the world, sees the future through the eyes of the African working class. And one of the fundamental aspects of the theory, of the philosophical worldview of African internationalism, is that Africans are one people dispersed around the world by the system of slavery and colonialism. The chairman in that presentation referred to, he said, all the way from St. Pete, Florida to Ghana to the Bahamas. You know, and we understand that Africans, whether they are in St. Petersburg, Florida, or in the Bahamas, or in Ghana, or in South America, or in any or anywhere else, are African people that have a right to their national homeland, to the resources of Africa. And likewise, that Africans around the world are facing the same conditions of colonial domination, whether it is in Africa or in the U.S. And when we say colonialism, we're talking about the oppression of a whole people by the oppressor nation for the purpose of political advantage and economic exploitation. And that is exactly the relationship that white power has with African people throughout the world, including here inside the U.S. And the Uhuru movement adopted the slogan of Uhuru, just as an example, a concrete example of how this is, of how, you know, how African internationalism works. The slogan Uhuru, which means freedom in Swahili, comes from the Kenya Land and Freedom Army, who were an organization that are often referred to as the Mau Mau, that operated in Kenya in the 1950s in the struggle against British colonial domination. At the time, Kenya was under direct white British colonial rule, and the British government, the British Empire, carried out essentially a Holocaust against the African people of Kenya. And the Mau Mau, or the Kenya Land and Freedom Army, waged a very serious and fierce and heroic resistance to British colonial domination in Kenya, and raised up as their slogan, Uhuru. And continuing the legacy of the Mau Mau into the 21st century, the Uhuru movement continues to raise up that slogan and advance that struggle for African liberation and self-determination. Recently, in Kenya, three Africans that were associated with the Mau Mau in the 1950s are now elderly people and are suing the British government for the atrocities that the British government carried out against African people in Kenya during that time period. So we want to talk more about this, but first I'm going to play a clip. This is a news clip about the recent trial of the Mau Mau.
tale that has to be told. They say they want to live their last days in dignity, after having endured the scars of torture for more than 50 years. And their lawyer says the British government is failing in its moral duty by not opening up about the past.
The history of what happened to the Mau Mau in Kenya during the 1950s at the hands of the British is a very sorry and distressing tale. It is, however, a tale that has to be told, if we as the British people are to learn from the mistakes of the past.
The British crushed the Mau Mau by moving tens of thousands of people into detention camps, where they carried out widespread abuses. The Mau Mau themselves also committed atrocities. The British government argues that the uprising caused a great deal of pain for all sides. The British government's defence is expected to be rather technical. It's likely to argue that so much time has passed that this case should not now proceed. But that will not satisfy Britain's critics in Kenya and elsewhere, who say this country is not taking responsibility for some of the darkest deeds of empire. They want an apology and compensation, but they are old, so time is not on their side.
The picture that emerges is that the British government is aware that these victims are in their 80s and 90s, and they are buying time in order for all of them to die out.
After the end of the Mau Mau emergency, Kenya became independent. For decades that followed, British and Kenyan governments had a tacit agreement not to examine the past too closely. Now, as the claimants get their chance to tell their story in court, the past is bubbling up again, and ugly truths may emerge in the days ahead. Barnaby Phillips, Al Jazeera, at the High Court in London.
Uhuru. So that was a news video actually from Al Jazeera, which you might have been able to tell. Al Jazeera is a neo-colonial news agency, and we just played that clip for the information in it. But we do want to make clear that the analysis provided in that video is flawed, to put it mildly. And, you know, we don't agree with the idea that the Mau Mau committed atrocities. The Mau Mau were waging a very serious resistance, fighting for their liberation, fighting to reclaim their land, reclaim their freedom. And the real atrocities were committed by the British Empire, which you can read about. There are numerous books written. It was absolutely horrific crimes against humanity that the British government carried out. And we just think that this case with these three Africans suing the British government, one of the things that it said in another article that I read preparing for the show was that the British government is fearing that this is going to open the floodgates for countless more victims of British imperial violence to come forward and sue the British government for what happened to them under British rule. The British Empire, as Chairman O'Malley often reminds us, was once the empire that referred to itself as the empire upon which the sun never sets. That's how much land, that's how much territory in this world was controlled by the British Empire. So, you know, recognizing that the struggle of the Africans in Kenya and throughout Africa and the struggle of Africans here in the U.S. are part of the same struggle, the same movement for resistance and liberation, the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement is holding their international convention here in St. Petersburg in September. The current dates that have been published are September 29th and 30th. If there are any changes to that, we will be sure to let you know. Check the website, impedum.org, to get more information about that. The International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, for those who don't know, is the mass organization of the African People's Socialist Party. And this is the organization that most people who have heard of the Uhuru Movement heard about it first through seeing one of the campaigns of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. It's constantly on the front lines fighting for justice, to defend the democratic rights of African people, and to really build a generalized movement of resistance in the African community. And we support 100%, are in complete solidarity with the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. It's led by Impedum President Diop Olugbala, and we call on all white people to attend this convention in September, if you want to stand on the side of African people, on the side of Africans in Kenya that are fighting for reparations, and on the side of African people right here in the U.S. that are fighting for reparations, then you need to be there at the International Convention of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement in September. Africans from all over the world will be there reporting on the work that Impedum is carrying out. Impedum's influence and presence is growing throughout the world. You can see videos on Uhuru News. There are Impedum members now all over Europe, in London, in France, in Sweden, in Stockholm, Sweden, as well as in South America, for example, in Colombia, and of course here in North America, in the U.S., and as well as in Canada, and increasingly so on the continent of Africa itself. So once again, I want to call on white people to attend this convention of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, Impedum, this September. Again, you can find out more information about that on impedum.org. So we're going to take a short musical interlude here, and when we come back, we are going to discuss the war that the U.S. government is waging against the people and government of Syria, and we're also going to be talking about Obama and the upcoming elections and the conference of the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations. And we will be back shortly after this commercial break. Again, you're listening to Reparations in Action on uhururadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. All right, we're back. This is Reparations in Action on Uhuru Radio, the official program of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. I'm Jesse Neville, hosting the program here from the Uhuru Radio studio in St. Petersburg, Florida, at the Uhuru House. If you're listening in the U.S., I encourage you to call in and participate at 727-565-1599. If you're tuning in from the U.K., you can call 020-8133-6629. If you're on Skype, our Skype ID is Uhuru Radio. And if you're able to email some questions or comments, that's dj@uhururadio.com. So on the second half of the program, we want to talk about the current U.S. war that is being waged by the U.S. government through proxy forces against the people and government of Syria. This has been intensifying as of late, but began approximately a year ago, and actually way before that, in 2005. Actually, some reports have said that it was at least in 2005 when the U.S. started to train opposition groups in Syria. But approximately a year ago, there emerged these opposition forces that started to attack both the people and the government of Syria, which is currently led by Bashar al-Assad. And part of why this is happening, as we'll get into more, is because as Chairman Amalia Chitela and Luwesi Kinshasa, the Secretary General of the African Socialist International, have really put out some brilliant analysis on Uhuru News, the whole balance of powers in the Middle East and throughout the world is shifting. And it's shifting not in favor of the imperialists, that the crisis of imperialism that's occurring in the world today is caused by the growing resistance of the vast majority of the world's people. The oppressed peoples, the oppressed nations are fighting back, or saying that the U.S. cannot just come in and do whatever the hell they want to anymore, and this is causing a serious crisis. So the U.S. is trying to control the situation, and that's what Libya was about. That's what all of the saber rattling against the government of Iran is about, and so too is what Syria, the war against Syria, is about. And more specifically, we're going to talk about the role that Syria plays as a force of resistance to U.S. imperialism and Zionist settler colonialism in the Middle East and Palestine. First, I want to play a video. This situation in Syria has really come to a head recently with a bombing, a series of bombings that took place in the Syrian capital of Damascus, in which several high-ranking Syrian government officials were slaughtered, including the defense minister and an important person in the security apparatus of the Syrian government, who was actually the brother-in-law of President Bashar al-Assad. So I don't actually think this clip is going to work. So we'll skip that. And just to explain, this attack was carried out by a group that refers to itself as the Free Syrian Army. And the Free Syrian Army is basically the U.S. It's NATO. It's Israel. It's imperialism. It's a force that is orchestrated, funded, and trained by U.S. imperialism. So when you hear about so-called civil war going on in Syria, what you're hearing about is the people and the government fighting against a neocolonial force that is under the guidance and direction of U.S. imperialism that is called the Free Syrian Army. And the Free Syrian Army has been carrying out atrocities against the Syrian people and government. In fact, recently, after taking control of numerous important sectors of Damascus, the Free Syrian Army took control of a border outpost along the border between Iraq and Syria, detained a Syrian Army lieutenant colonel, and cut off his arms and legs. And then an eyewitness reported that they then executed 22 Syrians in front of the eyes of Iraqi soldiers. This is what the U.S. government is sponsoring, is carrying out in Syria. And after this started to really intensify in the last couple of days, the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, strategically cleared parts of Damascus where the U.S.-backed rebels, so-called rebels, had gained control. And within 2 days, most of the major parts of Damascus that had been under the control of the so-called rebels, who are indeed more accurately described as mercenaries, were reclaimed by the Syrian army. And the Syrian mercenaries reported that they were forced to make a quote-unquote tactical retreat. This is what the U.S.-backed Free Syrian Army said about what happened in Syria, a tactical retreat, which to me really sounds like a euphemism for, you know, we had to run away screaming. And these so-called rebels, again, are backed by the U.S. and Israel, and people might, you know, recognize this pattern from what happened in Libya. Libya was another place which, at that point, under the government of the Libyan Jamahiriya under Muammar Gaddafi, was overthrown, the people bombed, massacred by, first heavily by U.S.-backed so-called rebels, which eventually formed the current government, the National Transitional Council, and then eventually by NATO airstrikes and bombings that occurred in Libya that killed thousands of people in Libya, and eventually the U.S.-backed so-called rebels in Libya brutally tortured and lynched Muammar Gaddafi. And, you know, the Uhuru movement and the Uhuru Solidarity movement understood and understands now the war against Libya as part of an attack on African people. That Libya is part of Africa. And, oh, excuse me, I see we have a call coming in. Johan Bedingfield. Johan, if you're listening still, I would encourage you to call in again, and I will bring you in. We had a technical difficulty for a moment. So as we're waiting for Johan Bedingfield, who's a member of Uhuru Solidarity Movement and the African People Solidarity Committee, to call back in to join us in this discussion, just wanted to say again that, you know, what's going on in... Oh, here we go. Uhuru, Johan.
Uhuru.
All right. Welcome to Reparations in Action. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So we were just talking about what's going on in Syria, and I was about to mention how the State of Israel has said that they are planning to invade Syria if Bashar al-Assad provides missiles or chemical weapons to Hezbollah, Hezbollah being one of the leading resistance organizations in Lebanon. And I think that this is an important point to bring up because, first of all, we understand that this is a cover, that Israel and the U.S. will come up with any excuse that they think will justify attacking Syria or anyone else. But it also indicates that a major part of why the U.S. and Israel want Assad gone and want the Syrian government to fall is because of the fact that they have provided support, both military and financial, to resistance movements in the Middle East against U.S. and Zionist colonialism. Do you have any comments on that, Johan?
This is definitely a CIA operation. I was just reading an article on the Global Research called Watching Syria and Remembering Nicaragua. I mean, these type of tactics and threats, seven nations and people have happened before regarding the purest attacks by the CIA and the Democratic Party. Actually, as a way to oppress people protecting the charity, and like 50,000 people were killed by the CIA during the hunters for CIA back, and they were murdering people, nurses, doctors, civilians. This is the way of terrorizing the people and spoiling, to control their own resources. So, that was in Jimmy Carter, and so we're seeing this again. We're seeing his role in Mossad and CIA and other Western forces. They're doing this again and trying to oppress people's rights to control their own lives and destiny. And they do it really barbarically. But you were saying what they did on the Iraqi border by cutting off limbs and doing this and massacring civilians of Hura. And that was, there's evidence that these so-called rebels who are really mercenaries are the ones that carried out atrocities. And that's what the CIA does. And in fact, they find it in Iraq as well. And that whole war and after the war has officially ended, you saw bombs of civilians. So the CIA and the U.S. imperialism in general really commits these massacres to terrorize the people.
Uhuru. The government of Venezuela recently issued a statement condemning the bombing in Damascus that we mentioned earlier that killed the Syrian defense minister and Assad's brother-in-law, and urged foreign powers against military intervention. An article from Reuters.com says, quote, "Socialist President Hugo Chavez has helped to undermine sanctions against Syria by shipping diesel fuel to the embattled country, and has described the conflict there as an international conspiracy backed by Western powers." Quote, "The government of Venezuela expresses its most profound condolences to the valiant people of Syria, and in particular to the families of the victims of this new crime," the foreign ministry said in a statement. It added that Venezuela exhorts the international community to avoid any armed intervention that would only contribute to a deepening of the conflict. A bloc of left-wing Latin American governments known as ALBA, led principally by Chavez, in June accused Western countries of planning to intervene in Syria, just as they did in Libya, and praised al-Assad despite widespread condemnation by imperial powers. And Chavez remained a strong ally of former Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi throughout the U.S.-backed regime change that occurred there. As this article says, with the help, quote-unquote, of European and U.S. airstrikes. So as a contrasting example to the Venezuelan government's solidarity with Syria and with the government and the people of Syria against imperialism, Amy Goodman of Democracy Now!, as well as certain white leftist organizations, including the ISO or the International Socialist Organization, have declared their solidarity with imperialism in the form of supporting the Syrian so-called rebels, or as you said, Johan, the mercenaries, in their efforts to overthrow the government of Syria. You have any comments on that, Johan?
So-called progressive, media outlets that self-supporting leftists in the U.S. and in Europe were identify these things as self-interest, as challenging this as quote. And clearly, they are not done this as full. They are protecting the tourism. They are, it's a form of opportunism. And it's not nowhere near showing any type of solidarity with oppressed people. And I think, you know, the Venezuelan government really, you know, reveals that they are the ones that take this chance to solidarity with Assad's regime. And it's clear that, you know, that this is what is really progressive. And it's colonized people who are taking that stand. And these news engines are not, and white people are saying, you know, recognize that and, you know, really take a stance in solidarity with Venezuela and Syria, as well as the African People Resources Party and the Uhuru movement. Because you get the real news here at the Uhuru Radio that really is, you know, is the analysis of the colonized people, you know, it's their analysis through their eyes, seeing the world as it really is. And so, you know, these media outlets are not progressive, and they're, like I said, protecting the status quo.
Uhuru. Yeah, I definitely agree that if you want genuine progressive, anti-imperialist, African internationalist, you know, revolutionary analysis of what's going on in the world, whether you're talking about Syria, talking about Congo, talking about St. Petersburg, Florida, you're not going to find that on Democracy Now! Or NPR or any of those pro-imperialist news agencies. You're going to find that here on Uhuru Radio, the online voice of the International African Revolution, as well as uhurunews.com. and the Burning Spear newspaper, the newest issue of which was just released, and I'm holding a copy right now. It looks beautiful. I'm really looking forward to getting into this and reading all these articles. There actually is an article about Syria in this newspaper, so encourage people to go on burningspearmarketplace.com and place your orders for the newest issue of the Burning Spear newspaper. So last thing we want to talk about today, you mentioned, Johan, earlier that the what's going on now with the CIA operation against Syria, and of course what happened with the U.S. government's destruction of the government of Libya and bombings of the people there, this is all happening under the Democratic Party, President Barack Obama. And I think that it's really important to make that clear, that it's not like the Republican Party is the hawkish warmonger party and the Democratic Party is the peacenik party or something like that. These are two wings, two contending sectors, as Chairman Amali says, of the white ruling class. And the election that's coming up, people are going to be talking about this a lot, and I want to talk a little bit about now about the upcoming Black is Back National Conference. First of all, the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations is a coalition that was pulled together comprised of numerous African people spanning ideological, political, religious lines, but uniting around a common point of unity with self-determination for African people and an uncompromising opposition to imperialism. And Chairman Amali Yeshitela is the chairman of the Black is Back Coalition, and the African People's Socialist Party has played a key leading role in creating and carrying out the political actions of the Black is Back Coalition, including the first ever demonstration against the Barack Obama regime in front of the White House in Washington, D.C., was held by the Black is Back Coalition. That was at a time when criticizing Barack Obama was very unpopular. There was this euphoria that had come over a lot of people regarding Obama, who saw him as representing hope and change. And of course, the Black Is Back Coalition understood that he was nothing but a new face for the same old system, or as Chairman Omali says, white power in blackface. And under Obama, we've had numerous escalation of murderous U.S. assaults on the lives of the people throughout the Middle East, throughout Africa, the expansion of AFRICOM, the use of U.S. drones that terrorize people, that engage in targeted murders and assassinations that are illegal even according to the definition of bourgeois law, drones that are also being deployed throughout the Caribbean, and that are even starting to be used against African people right here in the U.S. And addressing all of these issues, the Black Is Back Coalition is holding a national conference on August 18th and 19th in Newark, New Jersey, called Obama, the Elections, and the Struggle for Justice, Peace, a Better Life, and Black Power. And this is the conference that you need to go to if you want to understand the significance of Obama and the significance of the electoral system in general, and how the electoral system can best, if at all, can best be used strategically to further a progressive anti-imperialist agenda that meets the interests of, that addresses the interests of African people and other oppressed people. The Black Is Back Coalition is going to take the lead on defining that whole question. And speakers will include, of course, Chairman Omali Yeshitela will be speaking. Chokwe Lumumba of the Malcolm X grassroots movement will be speaking there. Charles Barron, who recently ran a congressional race in New York, will be speaking. Glenn Ford, the executive editor of Black Agenda Report, will be speaking. Lawrence Ham of the People's Organization for Progress will be speaking. Diop Olugbala, the president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. Aisha Fleury of the African People's Socialist Party. And Chimeranga Waller of the African People's Socialist Party will all be speaking at this conference. It's not something that you want to miss. August 18th and 19th in Newark, New Jersey. And I'm really hoping to be able to attend that conference. What about you, Johan?
Yes, I definitely want to try and attend that conference. And as white people can also feel free to attend, and it's a moment in history that African people are taking control. The masses of African people are taking control over power over their own lives, and as human among us, it's like that. White people can definitely come out and support white people are realize too that this system is going down and the crisis and thinking, and you saw that in Colorado, and other white people as well, currency actions as well. So it's, if we're progressive, means to learn to expand and learn coming to conference and, see the future and find the